good to be here together. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Nehemiah? And we're going to jump straight into the scriptures this morning. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to do a bit of teaching really and try and help you, help us all really, as we look at this whole subject of work, Christians in the workplace, and the impact that the Lord wants us to make. Masala asked me as he set up this series to preach on the impact of work. And I've done quite a lot of work on it. And as I did that, I just was really impacted myself and came to realize just how important the subject is. And so we're going to pick up Nehemiah chapter 3, and we're going to just talk about the building of the wall. And I'm going to preach to you a bit from Nehemiah, and then we're going to also just talk generally about the subject of work and where God has placed you, because we're all working in one way or another. Amen? Whether we're working in an office, or we're working in government, or whether you're working at home, we're all doing some kind of work, and it's just a subject that we need God's help in this morning. So let's come to Nehemiah chapter 3, and we're going to read the first two verses there. It says, now, Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to them, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, others built as well. The fish gate and the sheep gate and all these gates that they built as well. And then if you turn over to chapter 4, it says, now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they try and restore the wall for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn stones at that? And they started mocking them, and they started opposing them as well. And so this is the part we're going to look at this morning, is Nehemiah coming to build the wall in Jerusalem. And we're going to draw some examples out of that that I really hope helps you as well as we come to this very important subject of work. So look at Nehemiah. They say Nehemiah was actually quite a short guy when he grew up. He was Nehemiah. Maybe that's just, it's not just a fable. It's not in the Bible, but I just thought I'd throw that in. But he was an incredible guy, even though he was so short. And we've got lots to learn from him, about the impact of work. Okay. And so, you know the story. Masala laid it out so well in the introduction. Because of the idolatry of the Jews, the Babylonians came in and they took the Jews captive. They took them off to Babylon into exile, and they were there for many years, for 70 years in exile. And then Ezra, the high priest, he brought them back, and they built the altar. They built the temple. They began to worship the Lord. And then that was in 458 B.C. And then in 445 B.C., Nehemiah then came through to Jerusalem to build the city walls as well. And so we see this combination of worship and work, worship and structure. We need both to impact the city. We don't just need worship, although that's vital. We need to also work hard to impact the city and to change the city. And so we see Nehemiah here. I'm going to pack a lot in this morning, and we'll finish off next week. And next week I've asked folk to be on a panel discussion, so bear with me. There's also some paper on your seats if you'd like to take some notes, or as I'm speaking, perhaps you have a question that comes up which will help you as well. Please write that down for next week as well. That'll be helpful. Or maybe just something I say that will help you in your own work situation as we go along. So Nehemiah is an outstanding leader. He's not just a leader, but he's also a manager. He's a visionary, and he's someone who practically can put the vision into practice, which is quite unique. Most people are leaders or managers, but he's both. He can kind of do both. He's an outstanding leader and manager, and we find he leaves the comforts of Babylon to rebuild this broken city, and also to rebuild the people of God that are discouraged as well, and to stand against their enemies. And it's just an excellent book on the impact of leadership. There's so many leadership lessons in this book as well. And Nehemiah is really like an Old Testament apostle. that kind of builds the city and he builds up the people of God. And so it's a building book, Nehemiah, with many lessons for us. There's physical work that they did on the walls, and there's also people work that Nehemiah did, is he had to mobilize the people and put them in teams and deal with, later on we see some of the issues he dealt with amongst the people, and he dealt with sin and laziness, and he had to sort out marriages and all these things as well. But we see that God used Nehemiah to restore the people of God, because God is a God of restoration. And in the early days of the restoration movement in the 70s and 80s, this book was used a lot to actually, to say that God is restoring his church. God is restoring the local church. God is restoring ministries to the church, apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers. And they used the book of Nehemiah a lot for those principles. And so this morning I want us to dive straight in. And first of all, look at Nehemiah himself and the work he did. And then secondly, we want to talk about what the Bible says about work. And I'll see how far I can get this morning. So firstly, Nehemiah, what can we learn briefly from Nehemiah and the work that he did and the approach that he took as well? And so it's just important for us, this whole subject, as I said already, on work. I've been a pastor for many years, but I also, when I was a student, I worked part-time in a printing company as well. We were reps selling cash books and invoice books and traveling around Pretoria selling this stuff as well. And also working in a restaurant in the evening to put myself through college as well. And so I've also had some experience. I had a real job once as well, working in the real world in different ways as well. And my own father was a vice principal in a school, and he also not only taught, but he, on weekends, he was a carpenter, and he used to work on weekends with wood, doing woodwork and stuff, and building as well, just for us to be able to buy a house and stuff like that as well. And I remember as a small boy going with him and watching him work, and he used to work hard, and he hardly ever took a day off. When he finished at school, he would work on the weekend. So I grew up in that kind of environment, watching my dad work as a teacher and also as a carpenter. And it was good for me to be part of that as well. And so here we have Nehemiah who's working, and he's working because God is a God who also works. Our God is a God who works. In the Old Testament, God works as a creator and as a gardener. He planted a garden and he created this world. And as the New Testament, God comes to us as a carpenter. And Jesus was a carpenter for 30 years. And he only had a 3-year ministry, but really he was serving as a carpenter, as a tradesman, in the first 30 years of his life. And so this whole subject of work and how do I operate as a Christian in the workplace is very important for us. But the church has not always prepared the church, the people of God, for the workplace and how to operate in the workplace. And it's often been a gospel gap. We talk about these gospel gaps where often we've trained people how to operate in the church on Sundays and in small groups, but we haven't always trained people and helped people how to operate in the workplace and how to be a Christian in the workplace as well. And so what did Nehemiah do? I want to just list a few things that may help us this morning. First of all, God got hold of his heart. God gets hold of Nehemiah's heart. And when he gets hold of Nehemiah in the beginning, we find that he commits to the work of God. So if you look at chapter 1, he hears this news about the walls burnt and broken down in Jerusalem, and he starts to weep, he starts to cry, he starts to pray, he starts to fast as well. And he begins to get hold of God, and he begins to call on God. This man has been relaxing in Babylon, sipping wine and opening wine bottles for the king. That's what he's been doing. He's got a cushy job. He really was just serving wine to the king. And when he gets this news about what's happening in Jerusalem, it kind of messes him up. And he suddenly awakens to what's going on. And he begins to wrestle with God. He begins to pray. And he begins to remind God of his promises to Israel and includes himself in those prayers. He doesn't just say the problem's over there. He said, Lord, we have sinned. Lord, we have drifted away from you. And he begins to pray and he begins to call upon God and he takes responsibility for the situation. And what I want you to see here this morning, friends, is that he's not just informed, he's impacted. He's impacted by this news. He knew, listen carefully, he knew that things were not right in Jerusalem because he was an exile. But somehow he just kind of got on with his life in Babylon and he was a cool Christian in the workplace. But then when he gets this news, it messes him up. He has an encounter with God that kind of messes him up and he's impacted by this news and it changes his whole life. It changes his situation. And God can do that sometimes in your life. You can be going along and suddenly something will happen or you'll hear some news or God will touch you as God was moving here this morning and it can just change your life. It can reorientate your life. And here's a man whose life was just reorientated through this news. It just affected him. And I think God used it to change his life. God used it to just open him up in a whole new way. And he began to pray. And he began to get involved, and when we see he hits Jerusalem, he starts to use all kinds of gifts we never knew he had. And sometimes God has got to stretch us in the workplace and stretch us in life for us to discover we've got gifts we never knew about. Can you say amen? And that happened to this guy here. And he did, I want you to see, he didn't have to go back to Jerusalem. He actually had a word from the Lord to stay in Babylon. Because God said, I'm sending you to Babylon. And he could have said, Lord, you told us we to stay here. He didn't need to go back, but actually this God stirred him and he realized, no, it's time to go back. And I'm not just going to stay in this place, but God is moving me on. And maybe God's speaking to some of you here this morning as well in that way. There's a fresh stirring of the Spirit that was more important than previous prophetic words. And he stepped out and he trusted God and he begins to pray. And as he begins to pray, he catches a vision for the house of God. And he begins to get stirred and he's changed and he's impacted. He's not just informed. He's impacted. And friends, that's what happens to us. And later on, he's so focused, they can't get him off the wall. They say, come down. We want to talk to you. He says, no, I'm working. I'm about a great business. Hallelujah. He would not be distracted. He learned to exercise his no muscle. He was gripped by a vision for the people of God. He was gripped by a vision for the city of God as well. Hallelujah. It's just amazing. And friends, we need this as well in our lives. We need God to grip us with a vision for the people of God. To grip us with a vision for the house of God. Otherwise, we'll just go on with our careers. We'll just carry on where God has placed us. We'll just carry on in the city. But this man was gripped by a vision. Something changed in his life. And it changed him forever. Hallelujah. I want you to see, secondly, that God had also strategically placed him ready for this moment. He was strategically placed in the king's palace. He was strategically placed for this moment. Winston Churchill, who led Britain against the Nazis in the Second World War, when they appointed him prime minister in the war against Germany, he said to the, and he was not a saved man, but he said, I feel like my whole life has been prepared for this moment. I feel like my whole life I've been waiting for this moment as well. And so God has strategically placed Nehemiah in the king's palace in order to use him. And later on we see that Nehemiah strategically places people on along the city wall as well to build up the wall. And friends, we've been saying consistently for some time that where you are now in the city is where God has strategically placed you. Let me say that again. Where you are right now is where God has placed you. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7. We've been saying this. We said this quite a lot through when we went through Proverbs, through Streetwise. 1 Corinthians 7. And Paul is writing there this great passage. 1 Corinthians 7. And Luther used this a lot in his theology of work. And he says, verse 17, only let each person lead the life that God has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Hallelujah. And so God is saying to you, where you are right now is where God wants you. Where you are right now is where God placed you. I'm not saying God will never move you or opportunities won't come up, but where you are right now, you need to see it as your calling to serve God. Let them remain where God has strategically placed you. Don't wish you were someplace else or someone else or doing something else, because where God has placed you is his plan for your life. So there's this picture of all these domains, and they've worked out that society is made up of these different areas. There's education and arts and media and science, technology, commerce, medical. And every one of us in this room are in one of these domains. Even if you're working in the home, or even if you're growing up, you're learning to develop yourself in one of these areas. And wherever God has placed you, that, my brothers and sisters, is our calling, where God would want to use you in life. And so remain where you are and make peace with that. And let God use you where he's placed you. Christianity is not just to give you a new life, but to make your old life new. And God infuses your old life with new meaning. And my identity in Christ changes my outlook on my location and my vocation. Hallelujah. And that's what God did with Nehemiah, and that's what God does with us. He strategically places you. God has done that for folk in this church. He's put you in particular places for this time to be used for his glory. The people in your office with you, the people in your company with you, the people in school with you, the people in university with you, the people that are working with you, God has placed you there to influence them. And you need to see your workplace as your calling. Hallelujah. And that's what happened here with Nehemiah. He was strategically placed at the right time so he could affect the history of that nation because he was in the palace with the king. And we see thirdly that he also then gets hold of the people and he begins to organize the people in Jerusalem when he gets there as well. He forms teams. He solves the problem by forming teams. He divides a big task into small bite-sized chunks. It's how you eat an elephant, bite by bite. And he puts people at different parts of the wall, the sheep gate and the poo gate and the horse gate. And all these people that are working along the wall are working right in front of their houses. So he puts them right next to their homes. And they were volunteers. So listen carefully, they were working, but they were not employed, they were not paid. They were volunteers, and some of them had come from faraway places to come and work in Jerusalem because they were caught up with a vision. And you see, friends, there's a connection between my private life and my work life. There's a connection between the two. And often, your greatest impact you'll make is what's lying right in front of you. Your greatest impact you'll make is the areas around you, within your reach, your neighbor and the teacher at your school and your work colleagues and your family. Those are the greatest opportunities you'll have. And so Nehemiah strategically places the folk. They're working right in front of their homes. There's this connection between my work life and my private life. And the person I'm at home needs to be the same person I am at work. And the person I'm at work needs to be the same person that I'm at home. And so I think there's a lot here that we must learn. We must learn to make use of opportunities that are right in front of us. And sometimes we're looking for God to send us somewhere else. And he will send some folk to Tajikistan and other places. But most of the time, opportunities are right in front of you. The where he's placed you. I really want us to get this. Your location is your calling. The place where God has placed you is where he wants to use you. Hallelujah. Amen. And future opportunities are right in front of you. Maybe the person you're going to marry is in this room this morning. Have you thought about that? Now that's got you thinking. You're looking around. You're supposed to look at me now, not look around. We haven't started a dating. We haven't started a dating service yet, eh? But you'll find, you know, I met my wife on a school bus going to school. The same bus we met. And you'll often find that God will use the stuff around you to bless you. And this connection between work and home. And they did what was around. They impacted them around them. And sometimes our homes also need a bit of kind of spiritual spring cleaning. We need to make sure our homes are well built. We mustn't just be presentable at work, but we must make sure our homes are well run as well. We mustn't just operate well at work, but we must operate well at home. Sometimes we need that as well. This connection between home and work. We're not two different people. We're not living two different lives. And for employers as well, people that are employing people, we need to know what challenges workers are facing at home. And so you find Nehemiah pastored the people. He didn't just put them to work, but he said, you know, watch out for the enemy and have a sword by your side. And he pastored them and he said, if there's trouble, I want to gather you together. He blew a trumpet. And so he said to them, I want you to trust God and keep your gunpowder dry, which is good theology. He was practical as well. And he did that to prevent discouragement. And we need to know the people we employ, we need to know what's going on in their lives. We need to pay them well. We'll come to that just now. But we need to know what's going on in their lives. The people that work with you. The people that are at work with you. How's it going at home? How's it going with your kids? We need to get involved in their lives. This connection between home and work. It's very important. It's not just, oh, you're at work now, you must work. But how's it going at home? So we try to do that. We employ a lady that works in our home once or twice a week. And we try and get involved in her private life as well. How's it going with you? How's it going with your family? How's it going with your finances? And Nehemiah did this connection as well. And we find also that when he arrived there, the work was also overwhelming. There was too much wall at the end of the workday. Just like sometimes for us, there's too much month at the end of our money. And people today are under tremendous pressure in the workplace. There's lots of pressure to do more with your jobs. That's why we want to pray for people next week. We want to pray for Christians in the workplace. And when he came to Jerusalem, there were two things that he found. He found gaps and he found rubble. There were lots of gaps in the wall and there was lots of burnt rubble and stones lying around and that was part of his nightmare, how to fix the gaps and how to remove the rubble. And gaps are really broken places that need restoring. And our work situation can be like that. Our lives can be like that. You might find that there's just gaps in your workplace. Your boss may have gaps in his life or her life. There might be skills gaps at work. You might find in your own life there's some gaps that need God to close and heal. They need gospel fixing. And part of the series, this mini series of the next 2 weeks, is to try and close some of the gaps we find in the workplace. There are gaps sometimes. But rubble is different. Rubble is like bricks that were once part of the wall, but they're now broken and damaged and they're lying all over the place. They're just not built in. And I think this is perhaps a picture of just plain unemployment in South Africa sometimes. Where people are just lying around. They're not productive. They're not working. They're saying now 4 out of every 10 South Africans of working age are not employed. Almost half of the working population do not have jobs. It's a serious situation we're finding ourselves in. And 55% are still poor. And so this issue of unemployment, of people just lying around, not being part of productive work, is a huge issue we need to pray into. But Nehemiah encouraged them and he mobilized them and he got them involved in the work and they closed the gaps and they built up the wall. It took him 52 days to rebuild the wall, but it took him even longer to rebuild the people. So it was work on the wall and work on the people as he built together. But God prospered Nehemiah. And God will prosper you in your workplace. Because God is a God of work. A God who worked and rested from his work. And so as we look at the life of Nehemiah, just some of these points. I want you to look at that and see that God gave him wisdom in the workplace. God will give you wisdom in the workplace. God blessed him in the workplace. God will prosper you and bless you in your workplace. Hallelujah. He did that for Nehemiah. And he did that for others like Joseph and Daniel and Peter and Paul and others. He blessed them in the workplace. Most of the guys who wrote the Bible were not pastors and priests. They were fishermen and farmers and musicians that God blessed. Hallelujah. And so we're not saying here this morning that you have to go full time to really serve the Lord. No, what we're saying is don't go full time. Especially if we've got to pay you. Rather be a volunteer for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And serve God in the workplace and let God bless you there and bring glory to Him where He's placed you. But I really want us to catch a vision for this thing, that where God has placed you, in your business, in your job, in your home, at this place, is His purpose for you. It's His calling for you. Hallelujah. Amen.